Spare the rod, hate the son. Taken from Proverbs 13:24. Two religions. A woman sat by the fireside reading a book with a pleasant face, till a child came up with a childish frown and pushed the book away, saying, "Put it down." Then the mother, slapping his curly head, and said, "Troublesome child, go to bed. A great deal of God's book I must know tonight. You go up to sleep immediately." And the child went off to bed to cry and denounce religion by and by. Another woman bent over a book with a smile of joy and an intent look, till a child came up and pushed her book away and said to the mother, "Put it down." Then the mother sighed as she stroked his head, saying softly, "I never shall get it read, but I'll try by loving to leave, to learn his will and his love into my child instill." The child went to bed without a sigh and will love religion by and by. This two poems, or one poem describing two religions, describe how influential parents are over the children. How we react, how we respond, will affect their final outcome. Yes, you may say we are Calvinists. Salvation is of the Lord, and therefore whether they are saved or not, God will save them anyway, regardless of how I bring them up. That is not found in the scriptures. There is this aspect in the scriptures called human responsibility. Yes, you are correct in a certain sense. Whomever God has ordained before the foundation of the world to be saved, they will be saved. But those who are stumbling blocks to their own children, and yes, despite us being stumbling blocks to our children, those whom God had ordained will still be saved. But we who are stumbling blocks will have to answer to our Lord for what we have done to our children. Whether we bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord or whether we fail to do so, we have to give an account to the Lord. As you know, there are some couples who long to have children, but they couldn't. We thank God for children. They are blessings from God, the Bible tells us. These blessings come with it a very heavy responsibility. And from this verse alone, you'll find that from the parent's point of view, from God's point of view for the parent, spare his rod. Why didn't the Bible say spare the rod? Why did the Bible say spare his rod? The rod is a symbol of authority. The picture immediately tells us that the parents are endowed with a certain degree of authority given by God to them over their children. Whether we like it or not, we are people who have authority over our children. You may choose to abdicate it and you pay the price. Today in some parts of the world, it is very difficult to discipline your children, very difficult to exercise this authority. You have to exercise it within certain guidelines laid down by the government. We were told by our seminary friends that you better not discipline, that means use the rod, on your children in public, or else you will be arrested and the children will be taken away from you. That's what our seminary friends told us. And so we took the advice. You are in that country, in America, you follow the rules. Just as when they are here, they have to follow our rules. So we followed. And then when we came back, true enough, we read in the newspaper, a mother slapped his son because this son did something wrong to the little sister. And somebody saw it, and she was arrested. The son was taken away from her. She had to go to court to get her son back. It is a reality where the government will try to hamper the authority that God had given to us as parents. What does it mean to have this authority? This authority is given by God to us. We have this rod where we need to exercise this authority. The father and the mother are both responsible. The father, as the head of the house, is even more responsible than the mother in bringing up the children. We may work most of the time, but you must realize that it is your duty, fathers, to be in charge of the spirituality of your wife as well as your children. These are under your purview. That means if you are not spiritual, they too will find it very difficult to be spiritual. You have to be spiritual in order for you to exercise the right kind of authority. Now, we are not talking about fathers and mothers using the rod to the extent where their children's skins are torn apart, where it borders toward cruelty, child abuse. We are not talking about that kind of authority. We are talking about an authority that they must see in you as parents, whereby the West would tell us, treat your children like friends. Let them call us by their first name, and so you'll call your grandpa John, you'll call your father David. That kind of a situation is not biblical. There must be a kind of a hierarchy in the relationship where the parents will tell the children certain things and the children will have to obey. Sometimes you may like to give them the reasons. Other times you have to let them know that because mommy and daddy say so, you do it. Reasons may not need to be given. That's authority. They have to see you as people who are in charge of their lives. To tell them the difference between right and wrong. You find that in Proverbs 29, verse 15. Now we have to turn to a few other chapters from the book of Proverbs to harness the different aspects of the authority of the parents, how to discipline children, why discipline is necessary, as well as the love of parents. Okay? Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. So the purpose of the exercising of the rod, and he is talking about the literal, actual rod, as well as discipline in general. It is to give wisdom. Unlike what some psychologists would tell us, children, they are born good. Let them have their own free will. Let them do what they want. And as they grow older, they will be able to discern and determine what is right and what is wrong. The Bible says no. The purpose of exercising the rod, our authority, is to give them wisdom. They do not know what is right and what is wrong. What they want that belongs to them, they will keep it to themselves. And what they see their sister or the brother or their friend has, they will want to get it from them. That is selfish because they do not want to share. That is greed because they want to take from others. And it also includes perhaps the desire to rob. Just take by force. I'm bigger, you're smaller. I just snatch, I just grab. Now, if you do not nip that in the bud, the next time round, when the child sees something else that belongs to the friend that he likes, he will continue to snatch. So immediately, if you see that, you must tell the child no snatching. You have to teach the child. That is wrong. Give wisdom. Teach the child that in this world of ours, there is a difference between good things, wrong things. You have to teach them, parents. The purpose of the rod, give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. It's only a matter of time. You can see that very, very early in the children's behavior. How by the children's behavior in public, Simple things like how they eat in public can put parents to shame. True? When they eat at home, you don't teach them to sit still when they are supposed to eat. You allow them to run around and then you follow them as you feed them. And so in public, they will expect the same thing from mommy and daddy. And so you'll have to run around them. They follow. They will know. They want you to tell them what is right and what is wrong, what they can do, what they can't do. And if you give them this liberty at home, they will know what's the difference between home and hotel or outside the home. You do not discipline them at home, and when they come to church and they fool around, they run around, and you tell them to sit down, they are not going to sit down. Why must I sit down? You didn't ask me to sit down at home when I run all over the place. When I'm supposed to have family worship, I run all over the place. And when we have worship in church, run all over the place. What's the difference? When mommy and daddy are praying at home, they talk, they play, mommy and daddy didn't mind. In church, pastor is praying, Sunday school teacher is praying, they chit-chat, they play with their friends. Where do you think they learn it from? Please do not pass this authority that God has given to you to the Sunday school teachers, to the teachers in school, nor to your maids, to your grandpa and grandma. It is your duty. Spare his rod. It is your rod. It is your authority. Sunday school teachers can help. They see the Sunday school teachers once a week. That's all. And only for that short period of time. How much can they do really? You have to be fair to them. They have 20 other children to teach the Word of God. Right? You have to be fair. It is not their duty. Neither is it the duty of the grandpa and the grandma. The grandpa and the grandma taught you and me. We were the children. Now that we in turn are parents, it is our authority, our duty. Why does the Bible say, leave father and mother. You are now a home where you are the head, you have to teach. You have to lead, you have to guide, you have to tell them through the rod, if necessary, the difference between right and wrong. And when you use the rod, please don't use the rod like a little feather. You need to, you have to. Otherwise, mommy, daddy, they're fooling around. The children are very smart. They know. They know how to twirl us around their little fingers. They know that most of the time I say yes whenever they ask me for food before meals. Because for me, food before meals or after meals, no problem. I can eat before meal and I can still eat my lunch and my dinner. My wife is different. If she eats before meal, it will affect her appetite for meal time. And so when she tells the children, please don't eat before meals. On a number of occasions, I nearly wanted to speak up and say, never mind, I let them eat. Like, it's all right, like, because you know you cannot apply just because you cannot, therefore they can't. You know? But then I applied that to myself. I did not say it, okay? I did not apply to myself also, because the reason I say that is what? Because I have no problem. You see? So I'm also applying what I tell her not to apply. That's why I kept my tongue. Cannot say it. Because it applies to me as well. It's the same thing. To me, no problem. So therefore I tell her no problem. To her, problem. So she tells her she cannot. You know what I'm saying? The children are clever. They know whom they can get away with murder. Papa or mama. They know. They know. They are smart. And so we have to teach them what is right and what is wrong. On a few occasions, they tricked me. They come and ask me, I say yes. I didn't know that mommy said no already. You see? So I got caught. And so, and you will come up to me and tell me, I said no already. How can you say yes? I said, I didn't know. So now I try to be smarter than them. Degrees don't help, I tell you. They are smarter without degrees. So I tell, what did mommy say? I asked them, what did mommy say? Oh, I haven't asked mommy. Ask mommy first. Oh, you see? So ask mommy first. Mommy will be stricter in that kind of things. Let mommy deal with it. Mommy knows because mommy spent practically the whole day with them. We are out working. We know what mommy has been feeding them. Mommy knows what mommy has been giving to them, saying yes to them. What kind of view mommy has. You do your homework, then you're allowed to do this and do that. Mommy has already done that. And so I come in and they try to pull a fast one from papa. So ask mommy first. Children are smart, but they do not know how to discern between right and wrong. It is our responsibility given by God with this authority to teach them. And if necessary, use the rod to teach them. No fighting in the house. In the house, they know very well. The moment they fight, they get the rod. Two parties, both parties will get the rod. It's a matter of who strikes first. No retaliation. If one party hits, you come and tell mommy and daddy, the other person gets it. You can quarrel, you can talk, but no hitting. Or you get the rod. And after you get the rod, you go and apologize. No lying. The moment you are caught lying, you get it. Let them know the difference. If you don't teach them, they will not know what is right and what is wrong. And the purpose of the rod is not to vent your frustration. And I must admit, sometimes I did that. And I have to apologize to my children. Never, never vent your frustration because of pressure from work, because you have quarreled with mom, because of this and because of that, and you take it out on the children. It is to teach them wisdom. Difference between right and wrong. Then what about love? Do you know that in the scriptures, the Bible never commands the parents to love the children? You find a verse that speaks of that? The Bible tells us to love our wives because we have many, many roving eyes. So the Bible tells us, love your wife just as Christ loved the church. That means your love is sacrificial love. Whatever decisions you make as the head of the house must be based upon the love that you have for your wife. And so the wife will be very willing and ready to obey you because she understands that you have made this decision because you love her. At times you may make the wrong decision, but your motive is still correct. You are not perfect. You make the wrong decision and the wife must still obey. Because of this love and obedience relationship. But with children, it's as if God knows it is automatic. We may have the wrong way to express our love. And so the second part of this verse tells us, if you love, you must discipline because you spare the rod. You spare your authority. You fail to exercise your authority. You hate your children. You don't really love your children. The Bible says. We all love our children. The question is, do we love our children correctly? In such a way that it is the right, acceptable, godly kind of love. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, teaches us a very, very good way to understand the parental love for the children. And God would use that to illustrate His love for us as well. Verse 5, Hebrews 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. In other words, God will discipline God's own children if we have gone wayward. So there are some Christians who have strayed away from the Lord and they are still feeling, okay, God never touched me, God never do anything to me, I'm still fine, and they feel very proud. There is nothing proud about going wayward, going astray, leaving the church, backsliding. And if God leaves you alone year after year, then the big question mark is, are you truly His? Because the Bible here tells us, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. So if God tells us that He loves you, and you do something wrong, He will not let you get away with it. He will chasten you. The chastening is to draw back. rather than the word punishment. Punishment is to punish and then that's it. Sentence you to jail, sentence you to 3 strokes and that's it. Chastening is a kind of a discipline to teach so that you can come back to the right pathway. And that is the purpose of discipline, which will be our third point. But please understand, when you love your children, you must discipline your children. Use the rod and scourge every son whom he receiveth. Sometimes the chastening from the Lord is very painful. There have been testimonies when the child of God has strayed away from the Lord and the Lord has to take away the loved one from the person in order to draw that person back to himself. Read the testimony of Reverend Timothy Toh. He will tell you that. The Lord wanted him to go into full-time ministry as he was dedicated by his mother. He didn't want to. He wanted to be a lawyer. He was very bright. Do you know that if you go to ACS, you still find his name on the plaque? I was told. I didn't go there to see. All A's. From record, based upon paper qualification. He is supposed to be even smarter than our senior pastor, Dr. Toh, as far as academic results are concerned. But after he got his scholarship after Second World War into RI to do law or something, the first year he thought he was sure to pass. I mean, straight A1s all the way through his secondary years. But he flunked, he failed. And that was the shock of his life. God had to teach him the hard way. He didn't want to serve the Lord. The Lord took away his mother, took away his loved one to turn him around. That kind of chastening hurts, very painful, like the rod. But it did him good. The Lord turned him around. Instead of going to London to study law, he went to China to the seminary there to study for 1 year. And then he went to America to study theology. And that's where he picked up BPism. And that's how the BP Church was founded. One particular event, that very painful event in one individual's life. We are all receiving the blessing through that one single event. Reverend Stephen Koo came to know the Lord and then he strayed away from the Lord for 14 years. Now this testimony he shared with us publicly. That's what I'm sharing with you. For 14 years, he said he was in the wilderness. Until the Lord took away his mother. And then his brother who was there asked him to pray. And then he got a shock of his life. He had forgotten how to pray. He felt so awkward. And then he came back to the Lord. And that's how I met him. I was in church a year. I was saved a year after that. And then he came back to church. And then later on we met, we talked, and then we became the best of buddies ever since. Painful. Painful chastisement from the Lord. Why? Because he loves his children. He does not want his children to live a life of waywardness. It was the wrong pathway. You see your child doing something wrong and you say, never mind. Can that be love? You see your child fighting, quarreling, showing signs of selfishness. And you say, it's all right. You don't tell them. It is wrong, son. You cannot be selfish. You must learn to share. They won't know. They trust you and me to teach them. But if ye endure chastening, God dealeth you with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. And you are right. When you see your child crying because of the painful marks on their legs or their buttocks, It hurts you just as much as it hurts your children, but it has to be done. There is no joy or delight in spanking your children to inflict pain, to teach them right from wrong. But it is necessary. That is the sinful nature in our children that has to be taught what is right and what is wrong. No chastening seemeth joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Love your children. That means you must discipline. Not to discipline them, not to use the rod is not love. Please. Not the kind of love that is from God, that is biblical. You must teach them right from wrong when you discipline them, when you love them. It is very, very important. They may look very cute. They may look very helpless, but they are very naughty. And they have to be taught right from wrong. All children without exception. Because God has given to you children. And so God knows you can manage them. And so God wants you and I to manage them well, according to His ways. There's another poem here that I'd like to read to you. O mothers, so weary, discouraged, worn out with the cares of the day, you often grow cross and impatient, complain of the noise and the play. For the day brings so many vexations, for many things go amiss. But mothers, whatever may vex you, send the children to bed with a kiss. The dear little feet wander often, perhaps from the pathway of right. The dear little hands find new mischief to try again from morning till night. But think of the desolate mothers who would give all the world for your bliss, and as thanks for your infinite blessings, send the children to bed with a kiss. For someday their noise will not vex you. The silence will hurt you far more. You will long for their sweet childish voices, for a sweet childish face at the door, and to press a child's face to your bosom. You give all the world for just this, for the comfort, and will bring you in sorrow, send the children to bed with a kiss. Love your children. Whatever you do to them in terms of your discipline, at the end of the day, let them know that it is out of love for them that they had to be caned. Tell them that mommy and daddy, we wish we do not need to use the rod. But it is necessary because you keep doing what mommy and daddy told you not to do. You know it's wrong to lie, but you keep lying. You know it's wrong to steal, but you keep stealing. You know it's wrong to fight. You know it's wrong to be rude, to use bad words. And yet you keep using them. There is no joy when mommy and daddy had to discipline you. But it has to be done. And you know mom and dad, we love you. We will always love you. The love of parents will always burn bright. Isn't it? The question is how to love correctly. The discipline of the children is the process of training. You find that in Deuteronomy 22 verse 6. It's a process of training. 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It is part and parcel of training them up, building them up, that they will learn to become men and women after God's own heart. Proverbs 22 verse 6. And when do we train them up? Spare his rod, hate his son, but love him, chasteneth him, betimes. That means early. As Elder Lim has mentioned, the word betimes means early. Do it early. Not when they are teenagers, because when they are teenagers, No point using the rod. Most likely they are stronger and bigger than us. When they are adult, it's utterly, completely useless. You use the rod on them, they'll call the police. Teach them when they are young. They must know when they are young. Because the moment they grow up, it is too late. Very late. And then we will reap the fruit of our non-labor, our failure. Chapter 22, verse 15, Proverbs. The reason why we must discipline. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Another very good reason for discipline, isn't it? Do it early. Don't let it be too late. Because in the hearts of the children, foolishness wrapped around it, the rod is that which will drive out foolishness from the child's heart. You see how crucial and how important and how great a privilege it is? Look at your son and your daughter. Don't you want them to grow up not only to be good citizens, productive citizens of Singapore, but they will be good citizens of heaven. They love to obey Jesus just as you love Jesus. And you and I have to show that we love Jesus or else they will know. Look at your son and your daughter. Don't you want them to grow up not only to be good citizens, productive citizens of Singapore, but they will be good citizens of heaven. They love to obey Jesus just as you love Jesus. And you and I have to show that we love Jesus or else they will know. Discipline is crucial. The reason is that this is one of the key factors in determining who is worthy to be an elder. Because the manner in which you bring up your home will be the same way that you are going to bring up the church. And the Bible tells us that, does it not? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, one that ruleth well his own home, having his children in subjection with all gravity. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4. That's how important it is. Whether you are able to drive out the foolishness from the children or not will be the same way that you are going to teach the church. If you are the kind of father and mother who are the tidapa type, and so when there are problems in your children's life, you will also tidapa. When there are problems in the church, you will also be tidapa. You will be yes man to everybody. Everybody will be nice to you. You will be nice to everyone. That is a terrible, terrible leader. Discipline must be exercised. You must. It's as important as that. We cannot have double standards. The way that the father brings up the home, the children, the same way he will bring up the church. Their foolishness in our hearts, this is their foolishness in the children's hearts. We have to teach them. And the rod is that instrument that God has given to us to teach them. Chapter 29, verse 17 of Proverbs. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee light unto thy soul. The word correct is the word chastisement. Discipline your son, and he shall give thee rest. That means when you are old, you will look at their life, and you will thank God for your son. In my premarital counseling to couples, I always tell the couple, it is according to the scriptures that when you are given children by God, the wife should stay home and look after the children. Theodore Roosevelt said that there is no higher calling for anyone, even far better than that of a statesman, than to be a mother. Because you mold the lives of sons and daughters in such a way that if you do it well, they will be so blessed for the country and in our spiritual context for the service of God. Don't allow your maids to bring up your children. They can feed them, they can clothe them, but they cannot instill into their lives your Christian principles. Don't allow your grandparents, your father and your mother to bring up their children, because it is in the nature of grandparents to spoil grandchildren. It's as if it is their calling. Do you know that? Grandparents, they do that. They do that. It's as if they are old, they are so mellowed down, they are very firm and strict with their own children. But when it comes to grandchildren, it's as if they are changed completely. So easy going, whatever the grandchild wants, they give. True? You let them be brought up by your father and your mother, you are in deep trouble. Yes. Unless they are good Christians as well. Unless they are exactly like you. Will they be able to do that? Because 9 to 5, they are in your grandparent homes with their set of rules and regulations. And then the rest of the evening, you bring them home to your home with your sets of rules and regulations of what is right and what is wrong in your home. You are the head, right? How do you think the child will feel? The child will probably grow up as a schizophrenic. In the grandparents' home, wow, anything goes. Mama and Papa's house, wow, this cannot, that cannot. And then what? What will happen to the child? The child won't know what is right and what is wrong. How come Grandpa, Grandma say this can? Papa, Mama say can't. What are you going to do? Who is right, who is wrong? They would like to be with whom? You tell me. Grandpa and Grandma. Why? Because the foolishness is wrapped around in their hearts. They can do all the foolish things and get away with it. Please. The early years of your child's life, mold them well. Mold them well. Please do not earn more money at the expense of your children's upbringing. Rather stay in a 4-room, 5-room HDB flat than stay in a big bungalow and lose the molding years of your young child's life, because that you cannot get back. After they are grown up, they are life of their own, they go to school, they are mature enough. You want to work, fine, go back and work. And then after that, you have a good job and you want to upgrade, and fine, by all means. But don't have material wealth and exchange it for the years of your children, where you're going to lose it forever and they will never come back. And they will be molded and they will be like this for the rest of their life, with their characteristics, with their foolishness still in them, not able to discern what is right and what is wrong. And they will be what we called rebellious. The parents' influence. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon, his steel that early impressed bore, and I could change it nevermore. Like a piece of clay. The moment it is hardened, no matter how hard you may press, the clay is set. You check the Levitical law, and you'll find that the severity of having a rebellious son. Do you know what kind of punishment God has given to the people of Israel if they have a rebellious son? Do you know what happens if the son scolds the father and the mother? If the son smites the father and the mother, do you know what's the penalty? Do you want to make a guess? Do you know what's the penalty? Stoned to death, yes. If the son were to curse the father or the mother, not both, either one, beat the father or the mother, he dies. He dies. Why is it so severe? Because when that happens, whole society will be undermined and the whole nation of Israel will be destroyed. With this motivation, that's why the Jewish parents, even when the infant, the baby, the children are infants, they will read and recite the book of Proverbs to them, hoping that by recitation, the words of God will somehow, someway, subconsciously get hidden in their heart, that when they grow up, they will learn to love Jehovah, their God. To have a rebellious son will give us problems upon problems upon problems. No end. It is sad to have children who are rebellious. In closing, I'd like to read to you another poem. In closing, poem time. A little boy looks up at you with eyes open wide. He puts his trusting hand in yours and something stirs inside. He leads you to the window where you stand and stare. A robin hops out in the lawn, but you didn't see it there. Your mind is deep in thought. The years were racing past. A small hand moves in yours. Why do they grow so fast? Soon you'll watch him go off to school, so full of promise and hope, and suddenly you can't speak for the lump that's in your throat. Time will pass so quickly. The days will turn to years. You treasure every moment, all the laughter and the tears. One day he'll meet that special girl and won her for his wife. He'll take her hand in his and build a brand new life. Suddenly, your thoughts come back to all the living he's not yet done. You whisper a grateful prayer and embrace your tiny son. Still young. Still very, very possible to mold in your loving hand. Will you mold up your sons and your daughters' life in such a way that they will grow up to be men and women after God's own heart? Let us pray. O merciful God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for children. We thank Thee, Father, that they truly are gifts from Thee to each one of us. We pray, O Lord, that Thou will help us to discharge the responsibility and the authority that Thou hast given to us, that we may truly, by the use of the rod, drive out the foolishness from the hearts of our children. We ask, O Lord, that Thou will help us to encourage one another later on as we have a time of discussion and sharing, and how we can best bring up our children. We pray, O Lord, that You will be merciful, that in spite of our failures, Thou will be gracious to our children to save them unto Thyself. We pray that Thou will help us to be in much prayer for our children and for their salvation in particular, that they will come to know the Savior at an early age. And by their lives, by their example, they may, if the Lord tarries, grow up to become men and women after Thy own heart, and in turn be blessings to others. Forgive us, Father, for the many times we have failed Thee and failed our children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.